This episode dedicated to loving memory of Peanut. It's the news, according to me. Yes. Peanut. I didn't know you, Peanut, but I'm sorry for your loss. Good morning, everyone. It is Monday morning, November 4th, day before the big day, the election, which is just a culmination of other days. A lot of little, bigger days, big little days. I don't know what are they. 8:07 a.m. 8:07 a.m. Eastern Standard Time because of the time change. Otherwise, it would be 9:07 a.m., but it's not. Oh, goodness gracious. We fell backwards. It's in the time. That's what we did. I have in my cup this morning, I have some... what's left of my chai. I had a bunch more chai. I've been out driving around already this morning. I had to pick up the dog from the kennel. And I was drinking my chai while I was doing that. So I still have a little bit of chai left. It's not very hot anymore. But I have, and of course, in my backup cup, I have some sweet tea that's kind of a blend. I actually ended up getting some Chick-fil-A sweet tea over the weekend on the way home. And I got... Oh, no, I wasn't on the way home. It was on Saturday. And I ended up kind of blending that with some of my homemade peach tea, which is just, you know, it's blends right in. It just fits right in there. Oh, a whole bunch of things I want to talk about today. I was going to compile a major list of all the conspiracy stuff, all the things that the left has been telling us over the last 8 years, 9 years about... everything, just the general lie. They've always generally lied through their teeth about anything because the end justifies the means. Propaganda is just one of their things. They think they can say something enough and make it so. Oh, this isn't going to be. Oh, I didn't write that on, but that wasn't even on my list. But it would have been one of my things if I had a little more time to think about it. The whole inflation thing. Oh, it's just a blip. This is just transitory inflation. There's going to be a blip, and then it's going to come right back down. And it just kept going up. It never did come down. And we've never had a correction. It stayed up there. And it's still higher than it should be. But then we cut inflation because we inherited this. Economy. They caused this economy. There's no question about that. But again, they continue with the lies. They just continue on. Just keep saying it, and it becomes the truth. To them, becomes the truth. To those of us who have a memory, I equate this to... Remember, Jimmy Carter was a one-termer, if you don't remember back that far. I remember that stuff. I remember how people felt about... and how Jimmy Carter got into office, first of all. Let's go back even further, when he got elected. One of the biggest things I heard from people... Now, there was the whole issue of, you know, because Nixon had resigned... Gerald Ford decided that it was time for the nation to move on. This whole thing with he basically pardoned Nixon, which was I think that was the major part of his death. I think he could have overcome that and become president. However, the biggest problem with that was, I think the biggest problem with him in his election campaign in 1976 was that he was trying to. We actually had a situation where we had the value of the dollar was increasing. And it's never happened since. Has not happened since then. There's never been a year where the value of the dollar has gone up. And people don't realize this. Economically, we didn't know what we had at the time. That's just the way it was. Everyone was so upset that Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon. And the other thing, the second underlying thing, and I think this was significant because I heard a lot of people saying it. And I used to hang around with a lot of adults for some reason. I don't know why, but I guess because I was, my brother and sister were quite a bit older than me. And so I was kind of the only child, second family kind of thing. That's what they used to call it. I don't know if they still do call it that or not. So I was so far behind that it was almost like an only child, second family. So my siblings were basically grown up by the time I was entering high school in even junior high. And they were already out. My brother and sister both got married at like 19, so they were pretty much out of the house and married. Well, my sister got married. They ended up moving into an apartment in our house, but so they weren't out of the house, but they were on their own. And I was always surrounded by older people. My parents would go hang around with their siblings, their friends from church and that kind of thing. And they were all their age, pretty much. Once in a while, they had kids my age, but no, not always. So I was kind of not necessarily involved or engaged in the conversation, but I was there for the conversations that the adults were having. And one of the major things I remember just people talking about, at least in this area, Midwest, was they were kind of upset that Gerald Ford had never been elected to any kind of office at all. And here he is, he's a president now. And he's running for president again. Somehow that was offensive to people back then. I'm not sure why that was a big deal. I kind of get it. I kind of understand it. But at the same time, I also know that that wasn't the main factor. I think he could have overcome the pardoning of Nixon if it would have been handled a little bit differently, or if he would have actually had some background with. He wasn't a very magnanimous person. He wasn't exactly Mr. Congenial. He wasn't a mean guy. He was a very, very nice person. Very, very presidential. Very, very, very statesmanlike. I would consider him more of a centrist than a really a right wing guy. And he was kind of a deep state guy. He kind of had a deep state background. But this is before the deep state really had much grip on our nation. And we still had a lot of the liberties we had back in the 70s. We still have. But they were just in the process of spooling up the machine to take them away. And they were, and I think between the war in Vietnam and the whole machinery, the mechanism that they have pulled out, by the way, the same thing that they've done, they've pulled out the same mechanics, the same people, the same everything going after Donald Trump that they had going after Nixon. They even pull out the same commentators. All of a sudden, these same guys that were involved in the whole Nixon reporting thing back in the day, in 70, 73, 74. Those same guys, 50 years later, are in the news. They're reporting again. These guys are in their 80s now. They're out there, just like, because they think that it pulls back from that era and it pulls a lot of people back, that happen to have memories of these guys, which most people don't, but yeah. So that's what they're trying to do, is equate this to the same thing as the Nixon scandal. Because, Trump is a scandalous president. He's been examined more than anybody on the planet. And still survives, gets shot at, still survives, gets impeachment attempts after impeachment attempts and still remain in office. And it's running again. Now, folks, I don't know what's going to happen with this election. I really don't. I'm starting to question. I know that there's. I'm going to talk about the polls a little bit later. This is going to be a little bit of a long show. Hopefully, it doesn't go too long because I have to go to Chicago today. I just came back from Chicago, and I got to go back to Chicago. I pretty much just live in my car, which is fine. It's a nice car. I don't mind being in. That's why I've got a nice solid car because I have spent so much time in it. It's got 310,000 miles on it now, but it's just to give you some idea. Every car I have, every car I have has over 300, has over 200,000 miles. Our previous two cars that we no longer have also had over 300,000 miles before they got totaled. And my truck only has 110,000 miles on it, and it's in the worst shape of all the cars, mostly because of corrosion. Corrosion and little varmints that get in and chew wires. I have a Jeep that has 170,000 miles on it, but that's that probably won't go over 300,000 miles. I'm sure it's not going to go. Probably not going to go over 200,000. It's right at that stage where it's probably going to need a new motor. I wouldn't mind putting a new. It's got the straight six in it, which is the one to have, 4.0 It's a TJ. The last year they made those, or the last model that they put that motor in. And I wouldn't have anything else, frankly. But so I might just have to get a rebuild put in there. However, the frame's kind of, I don't know, it just might not be worth putting it in that particular car, but I really like it. So we have, I got off on that subject. We have, I have to take off again earlier or a little bit later, quickly. So I want to go through this list of things. A lot of stuff I want to cover, and I can cover some more things tomorrow. But the major things I want to talk about, I guess early voting in most states, I guess, does not happen today. It was the last day for, at least in Indiana, the last day for early voting was yesterday. I don't know if you can vote today or not. I know election day is tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure that most states do not allow voting today. They consider early voting, 2 days prior, I guess. So whatever. All I know is people were waiting in line for 3 to 4 hours in the line to vote. Now, I could get into a whole thing about that. With this, I'll probably have more time to talk about the election scandals and things that happen, this whole early voting shenanigans that have been going on. There's been some legal cases that have actually been really ridiculously stupid. For the particular party that's the most vocal about democracy, democracy, we have to save our democracy. They're the ones out there protecting people from being on voter rolls that are not citizens. And then telling us, well, it never happened. They don't vote. People who aren't citizens, they can't vote. It's illegal. And they won't say that they don't vote. What they'll say is, it's illegal to vote in all 50 states. Can't vote in all 50 states. That's against the law to vote if you're not a citizen. Okay, then why don't we take those people off the rolls? Well, because we're going to disenfranchise voters. There might be people, we might screw up and get one person off there that shouldn't be off there. Well, then they can just file that's what provisional ballots are for. There's processes involved for that. Oh, we got to keep those 250,000 people who got to stay on the ballot until we'll flush them all out in the next couple of years. They can't be flushed out before this election. Oh, this election doesn't matter. These are the people who are so concerned about democracy. By the way, and then they come back and they say that, well, Hitler was democratically elected. So if Trump's democratically, he can be just like Hitler because he was democratically elected. So you don't believe in democracy. Then you don't trust democracy. We're supposed to trust democracy, but you're saying democracy doesn't matter. Your democracy. In other words, if you win, democracy wins. If you lose, then democracy loses. He's going to cancel the Constitution. How does that happen? How does a president cancel the Constitution? Today, I'm standing up to cancel the Constitution. I'm the president. I'm canceling the Constitution. Nope, sorry. Oops, I guess you lost it all. Yep, too bad. I have immunity. That's not the way it works, folks. The Constitution belongs to us. You think any general, anybody else in Congress, anybody on the judicial branch is going to go along with this? What? And people believe, oh, he's going to cancel the Constitution. He can't cancel the Constitution. And he knows that. He's never said it. Show me the video. Show me a recording of the audio. Play it for me, would you please? Because they're out of their freaking minds. I don't even like using the word freaking. I'm sorry. I just almost, because it's just a byword, but flipping, I guess. Okay, whatever. That's still a byword. They're out of their lily-livered minds. I don't even know what that means, lily-livered. I'm not sure what that is, but I'll use it on proper rights. So that's probably something derogatory too. I don't know. Who knows? I had a pastor many years ago he heard this term, shut the front door. When somebody would say something crazy, he'd go, he heard this term, shut the front door. He thought that was funny. So he said, shut the front door. So he started using it in his sermons. Shut the front door, shut the front door. He went through a whole weekend. Of course, we had four services at this mega church. And that's why I don't go to mega churches anymore. So he came back with this whole thing. And somebody later on that week told him, that's a by phrase. It's means something else. It means shut the something else. And it's just meant to sound like that. So he stopped using it. He thought it was cute, you know, when he was doing it. He didn't say anything wrong, but it's just that whole thing about being a byword. And it's, again, this is trivial stuff. I don't think God falls off his throne when we say something like that. There's no... Some people do. Fall off their toilets. Or fall into their toilets. I'm not sure. The peanut. Let's talk about peanut just real quick. I just want to mention peanut briefly because this show is dedicated to the living memory of peanut. There was a little squirrel out in New York. This guy saw that a squirrel got hit by a car and apparently had a baby squirrel. And this guy raised this little baby squirrel, nursed it back to health, kind of rescued this little squirrel in the process. And I think that in the process, somehow there was also a raccoon involved in one of his little rescues that he did as well. I think it was a little raccoon, baby raccoon that got abandoned by its parents, or parents got hit or something, or mom got hit or whatever it was. Found this little abandoned baby raccoon, took it on. And so he made it for 7 years, over 7 years, he had this raccoon as a pet, basically. And he started this farm. He started a rescue. They started feeding, started rescuing horses as well. And they were trying to put together this nonprofit that was, they were working on this whole thing and trying to establish this rescue farm, basically. I think they were going to call it the Peanut Farm. I don't know what they're going to call it, but it was a peanuts something farm, whatever it was. It wasn't the Peanut Farm, but it was basically that's what it was. But it wasn't a peanut farm. They weren't growing peanuts. I'll draw pictures and graphs later. So apparently the local conservation department, the DEC or whatever they call it out in New York, Department of Environmental Conservation or whatever, got involved in this thing. And my understanding was that, I don't know what led up to this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an environmentalist. I'm not a whatever. I'm just a guy. I'm not a financial counselor. Apparently he had this TikTok channel or something. He had some kind of social media thing, and Peanut was very famous, and people would tune in. He had getting a lot of views, and of course, that's how he makes it. You start getting paid when you start monetizing that kind of stuff, and. So this guy, the squirrel goes in and out of the house on his own. He's just going whenever he wants. He just goes in and out, whatever. Pretty much has a run of the house, which I would think would be very dangerous with knowing how squirrels like to chew things. But I guess they have him well enough trained to not do certain things. I don't know. I never watched any of the video, any of the TikToks. I've only seen stuff since then. But so the DEC gets involved and says, you have to have a permit to have this wild animal in your house, and you don't have a permit. So they... I don't know whether there was any interaction prior to this, but they had a warrant, came to his house with a warrant, came in with like 17 officers or some ridiculous number of officers, over 10, at gunpoint, pulled this guy and his wife out of their house, going through their house for like 4 or 5 hours. Of course, they confiscated the squirrel as well as the raccoon, and I guess some other squirrels as well, and some other animals, some other issues were going on. He wasn't able to feed his horses during this time. Normally, they get fed in the morning and the evening. It came in the morning, by the way, very early in the morning. Couldn't give them any food during that time, so the horses are going hungry. Because they're here to protect the animals and protect the public against animals. He wasn't affecting. He wasn't like he was having people in his house all the time with animals. I mean, it was a public place. He didn't have to go to his house. So they take the squirrel, and apparently they claim the squirrel bit one of the officers. That's what they're claiming. And because he bit one of the officers, they had to test them for rabies. The most effective test for rabies means you have to euthanize the animal, because that's the only way to really actually test for rabies, to be positive about it. There's other tests, but the most positive way is to euthanize the animal. So they euthanized the animal. They euthanized Peanut, and they euthanized the raccoon as well. And I guess they feel good about all this. It has raised an incredible uproar around the nation. I, for one, tell you what, I saw a video of a police officer who pulled up to a person's house. It's out in the country. They pull up to the house. There's, I think it was two Labradors, both retrievers, I believe, came running up to the officer barking. The officer pulled out his gun and shot him. I'll tell you what, I'm not saying I would be right in doing so, but I don't know emotionally how affected I would be if that happened. I don't know what I would do. I'm not saying I would be right in doing it. All I'm saying is I would probably snap. I don't know what I would be capable of at that point. My first thought is, I'm not going to get into it. I think I would become a monster. I don't know. And like I said, I'm not saying I'd be justified in doing so, but what I would probably end up doing, or would certainly be tempted to do, I would probably have to go to somebody and say, you need to lock me in a room for about a year. Keep me away from everybody because this could turn ugly. So I need to get over this or somebody's going to get hurt. And it ain't going to be me. So, anyway, onward and upward. We got an election to deal with. And, of course, the influence that this particular show has whatever. It might, who knows? I might change a vote. You never know. Somebody might change the vote because they heard this show. Who knows? There's a guy, what's this guy's name? I've got to go back to my history here in my YouTube thing because, by the way, I had an excellent weekend. I went to a conference in Chicago and, Jonathan Kahn spoke on Thursday night and as well as Friday morning. I've got to play this. I heard this morning. Brian Regan, I've seen him in person and I think the guy is extremely hilarious. And I think this is one of his better works. Now you have to look at his face. I mean, he's kind of a very animated person, but, I want to play this because I think it's very good. I also want to play, where's this other thing at? There's a guy that was, I think it was this one right here. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to open this another link just so I can play it a little bit later. Hopefully it doesn't start playing here. But I got to play this because this is just funny. So let's just play this first so we can kind of have some humor going into this. He's just a funny guy.
I like fancy restaurants because no matter what you order, they complement your choice. You get to feel good about yourself for a moment.
What are you going to be dining on this evening, sir?
I was going to have a hamburger.
Excellent choice. Well, buckle up, because I'm not finished.
Yeah, that's pretty funny stuff. I like the guy. I appreciate his humor. It's very, very clean. Just the typical, the skill of being a good comedian is just someone who can observe what happens in life and kind of make fun of it. put the twist on it, kind of give you that different paradigm shift of, let's take a look at why we do this or why we say this kind of thing. Like Tim Hawkins is very good as well. He's when he talks about his mom saying, don't go out gallivanting around. He's like, well, I don't know what a gallivant is, because he starts gallivanting around the stadium, around the stage. It's like, puts his thumbs in his, you know, his pants. He starts flopping his legs around. I'm gallivanting around. I don't know what a gallivant is, but that's, I'm gallivanting around. Oh, yeah. Just stuff like that. Just making fun of life in general, the way we kind of do things. And, of course, you can't push that too far. Really edgy ones, you know, can talk about racial stuff. There's some guys out there still able to talk about racial stuff. Of course, they get in trouble for it, but they're good at it. They're able to say stuff about, you know, about racial stuff and still be able to pull it off, and it's without being, well, I'm sure somebody's going to be offended. Somebody's always going to be offended. You can't help that. It's, you can say hi to somebody walking down the street and they're offended by it. Well, how dare you patronize me? Whatever the problem is, I don't know. It's, hold the door for somebody. Oh, I can get my own door. Okay, well, good for you. Hope you have a nice life. Hope you enjoy life. Hope you never need help from anyone else, because you've chosen to live in your little. Anyway, let's talk about some things. One of the things I want to talk about is the main thing I want to talk about today is this. And of course, I'm halfway through the show already. Let's just get started. Some of the conspiracies that have been going on over the past 8-9 years. Things that the Democrats and the media have told us that we have had to. You have to hook, you know, you have to swallow this hook, line, and sinker, or you're whatever you are. You know, you're a liar, and you're this and that, whatever. Let's talk about the 2016 election season, the early 2016, when, you know, Trump came down the escalator, the whole thing started, and the whole thing, all the, yes, you know, everybody starts talking about how terrible Trump's going to be. And I didn't know. Trump wasn't my guy initially. I don't know that he still is my guy necessarily, but I think he's definitely better than what our other choice is. But there's half the country that still thinks she's going to be the answer. She's going to solve the problems. She's going to be the one to be in charge. Large and in charge here. Look, the bus is about to be driven off a cliff, but we might as well just hit the accelerator. That's not the way they see it. They're disenfranchised. They're disgruntled about the way things are. So they're going to hire the same person to fix the problem. I don't get it. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So we were told by, you know, one Hillary Clinton back in 2016, and now everybody in the Democrat Party and everybody was all, you know, in a frenzy. Of course, they didn't think Trump was going to win. They really thought, you know, they were all just out. They weren't really being even extreme with anything. They were just all, they were saying extreme things, but they kept repeating that if Donald Trump gets elected, we are going to have runaway inflation. The stock market's going to crash. We're going to have nuclear war. He's going to have his finger on the nuclear button, and he's a terrible person. Terrible person. He's going to get us into a nuclear war. He's going to have war everywhere. Everybody's going to be our enemies. We'll have no respect in the world, you know, politics. We're going to be isolationists. He's a Nazi. Gay people are going to be hanging from trees. So that's what they were saying, this stuff. The party at large was saying this kind of thing. Not just fringe commentators. He's anti-Semitic, xenophobic. Racist. All this stuff. So election night comes and goes, and they're flabbergasted. That he won. They can't believe it. They're just beside themselves. Hillary can't come out and admit it. She has a really hard time conceding.
There's a little kitty. He's a a little kitty doing down here?
The little sweet kitty's here. The armory kitty was here earlier. Now that the dog is here, the dog kind of protects them. There you guys, your buddies. There you are. So anyway, we have so we were told about all this stuff. Trump gets elected, and within a week we're being told that the Russians hacked our elections. The Russians hacked us. Of course, Hillary came out and said that. She said the Russians did this. I was cussed out by people on Facebook. This is when I stopped basically Facebook. I started realizing this is not getting us anywhere. I was cussed out by people I thought were my friends. If you think it's okay for the Russians to hack our election, then, you know, then explore this with flu, you know, F you and this and that. And I was shocked. And I was just told that if I was okay with the Russians hacking election, I was like, hey, Russians didn't hack the election. But that was their excuse, because that's what they were told. So I ended up, but that's what we were told. And then we went on with this, the whole narrative, this narrative went on and on and on. And we were supposed to believe it until the Mueller report came out. Well, the Mueller investigation went on for a year, cost over $40 million. I guarantee it cost a lot more than that. There was a lot more involved in that, expenses and everything else that were around that whole thing. Let alone the cost of people's time that it took. At the end of that investigation, of course, it all came out, and we found out that Mueller, was an old bumbling man, and he was I don't know. It's outside of my purview. Everything was outside of his purview. It's like he just woke up out of bed and had been asleep for the last 20 years. We were supposed to be okay with this guy. But the one thing that the Mueller investigation showed was that there was no collusion between the Trump family, or anybody in the Trump family, or Donald Trump himself, with Russia. But one of the very first statements that they made was, "But the Russians definitely affected our elections." Okay, to what degree? I've mentioned this before. There's never been any measurement of how much they did they affect one vote? Did they affect a million votes? 10 million? 10,000. All it would have taken was 10,000. We don't know. There was no determination of that. All we know is they ran some Facebook ads. That's all we know. Well, Hillary should have just ran a few more Facebook ads to contradict them, and that would have been fine. They spent like $20,000 on Facebook ads. So I don't know, some ridiculous thing. Hillary spent over $1.2 billion. Which is what Kamala has spent. They won't spend all that, by the way. There's going to be a lot of money flowing after the campaign. Now, that's what we were told. For how long were we told that? Of course, then the whole thing was, there was all kinds of things flying around the first couple of years, everything that we're being told. Now, before the election, there was the Trump tape as well. I want to get on this because this is something that is still being brought up. Back when Donald Trump was a Democrat, by the way, back in the early, I think it was 2005 or 2007, somewhere around there, he was recorded in a, I think it was in a gym or someplace wherever he was, when it was some kind of a place where he was at. He was recorded, and he was making this comment about how rich, how famous people. Can basically what he said, they can molest women and get away with it. They can grab, you know, whatever. He never said, now keep in mind, he never said he did this. He was talking about famous people. So all the famous people all of a sudden come out and criticize him and call him a pig because he's talked about grabbing women. He never said he did it. Maybe he did. Maybe he has firsthand knowledge of this. I have firsthand knowledge of it from someone who was groped by someone famous. You'd be surprised. As an airline pilot, being the captain on the airplane, you are in a situation where you have cabin crew. So you have flight attendants back in the cabin. And you end up hearing some of their stories sometimes, one way or another. And it's not always your company. It might be somebody else's company because you're on a van with, you know, other companies' crew, flight crew, or you're traveling, deadheading, whatever you're doing, and you're on somebody else's airline. And you're hearing these stories from other crew members. And I can't tell you, has to be a small handful of times I've heard stories of very famous people on airlines. And first of all, let me just say, some of the flight attendants have said they welcomed it. They didn't have a problem with it. They thought it was really awesome that this famous person was pursuing them in such a way. I don't know what's going on with that, but that's happening. What mentally goes through a person's mind with that? But yeah, it happens. There's a particular rock singer. This one lady was talking about one time, came up into the seatbelt sign was on, and he came up to use the restroom in this one galley area. This is in a very large airplane. And there was, of course, nobody else was around, and it was the front. There was, if it was middle of the night or whatever it was. And he was groping her. And she didn't have a problem with it. And first of all, why are you telling me this? And secondly, we're telling all of us, they were telling us, the whole group of people there. And, you know, first of all, why are you telling us this? But don't you have any more self-respect than that? I just have to shake my head and go, okay, that's more than I needed to know, first of all. And secondly, I don't understand why you would go there, why that's okay with you. I don't get that. I don't know. Just a different. Anyway. So that's this whole thing. You can't tell me that De Niro and all of these people who've come out, all these movie stars who've come out with their high and mighty little high, their moral standards. And of course, I'm sure they're so moral. And we're supposed to believe that they've, the debauchery is not, I'm sure Diddy never did anything wrong either. You know, he was just pure as a driven snow. I can't understand. And all the, of course, now there's some of these people that are coming out and talking, supporting Kamala because Trump is such a monster, are people who are on video at the Diddy parties. And I'm sure Diddy wasn't the only one having parties, first of all. If they were going to Diddy's parties, they were probably going to some other people's parties, probably having some of their own parties. So you know that their personal lives were not exactly on the high moral trail. That's fine if they want to live their lives that way. But then don't come out. I think some of them are being blackmailed, personally, frankly. They're concerned. The way they're all screaming about. The way they're all screaming about the, I'm sorry, I got a text going on in the background here. I can't take care of it. The way they're all screaming around in the background, about how they're crying. J-Lo was crying on the stage, basically trying. Keep in mind, she's been a professionally trained actress. Except they're telling us why we have to vote for Kamala. And they're all concerned about, you know, women being treated properly. I don't know. This is, it's weird. So then there's this. There's all that stuff. So then the Russian hack thing, you know, stock market's going to crash. Gays are going to be killed. Women are going to be, you know, demeaned and, you know, put back in the 18th century. We're going to have nuclear war, all this stuff that everybody was talking about. None of that happened, of course. Day one, there were impeachment attempts on what is this? I want to talk about that too. Keep in mind, let's think about this. Barack Obama was very, very clear and very vocal about, prior to the election in 2016, he made his famous, or I should say infamous, statement about the magic wand statement that he made about Trump having a better economy. We were supposed to believe under Barack Obama that, hey, get 1.5% or 1.5% GDP is just, you're just not going to, you know, how are you going to make it better? There's no way to make it better. It's just, what does he have, like a magic wand? He's going to make a better deal? How do you do that? That's exactly what happened. We had over average growth GDP wise. In fact, it was, I think it went up over 4% a couple times. And Barack Obama comes back now and tells us that, well, yeah, sure, it was a great economy. Sure it was. Yeah, well, you know, because, you know, I gave it to him. I gave him that economy. I handed him a great economy. Excuse me? You were the one who said he couldn't do it. You were the one who said it couldn't get any better. Well, you know, I got the ball started. You didn't say that back then. You didn't say, hey, we're handing him a great economy. You know, whoever gets this next presidency is going to have a great economy to work with. We're walking out here with this great economy, great, wonderful, wonderful economy. That's not what he said. He said it couldn't get any better. And it did. He was wrong, first of all. So, I gotta take another sip of this tea here. I'm having a little bit of a dry throat issue. There, that's much better. I need to put some coconut oil in there. So, let's see, where else was I? I actually have a list of things here. So on day one, I think it was it Al Green? I think whoever it was had impeachment articles drawn up and actually placed them on the House floor of day one, January 21st or whatever it was, I think it was, in 2017. Ready to impeach the guy right off the bat. So we're starting in with this whole thing of we've got to impeach him. I think people have actually drawn up articles of impeachment on Kamala, I believe. Day one might be Marjorie Taylor Greene, was it MTG, whatever her name is, mortgage. So all through Trump's presidency, all the attacks that happened, everything that happened, of course, then in 2018, the midterm election that happened, and all the rhinos basically jumped ship because remember, we had the House and the Senate the first term of Trump's presidency, the first 2 years. And all the Republicans would not cave on the idea of building a border wall. This is where I blame the Republicans for not having a wall. For the immigration problems we have now, I blame the Republicans are just as much to blame for it. Because they're the ones that could have put things in motion, could have set things in place that would have caused the immigration rush, especially the fentanyl and stuff coming across the border in you know, some places. Now, I'm not saying that the Biden administration wouldn't have chopped down parts of the fence and said, "Hey, enter here. Come on in here." Because we have problems with the actual checkpoints as well, just as much as we do anywhere else. They're flying people in across the border, so that wouldn't even matter. these refugees that we're taking in, supposedly. Everybody's a refugee. So this is happening, and all through the first 2 years, of course, in the last 2 years, then Democrats got control of the House, and they started actual impeachment proceedings. And we went through all that stuff. The House impeached him once or twice. I don't know how many times they impeached him. Didn't make it through the Senate, thankfully, because they just barely, by one vote, basically could keep, you know, kept him from being impeached. So the House, Nancy Pelosi still says, he was impeached. No, that's not the process, Nancy. The House impeached, voted for impeachment. The Senate did not. And it takes an act of Congress, which is the House and the Senate, to be considered impeached. He was never impeached, by the way. That's her term. He was impeached in the House. Well, the House doesn't have control of the Congress. There are checks and balances within Congress, and you're the only part of the check. You're not the balance. Not if Kamala gets involved. By the way, she's going to get rid of the filibuster altogether. It's going to be basically another Congress. It's going to be basically another majority rule thing, and whoever controls, and that, which is dangerous for them because if the Republicans win everything, they won't because they won't have control. It's one of those things where they know that they got their hand around the brass ring right now, and they're not going to let go. And once they get a firm grip on it and get it in their hands, we won't be able to touch it anymore. People will be left in the dust. Now, so all this happens. And, of course, during all this time, and the elections start coming up, 2019 comes around, and, of course, 2020 is coming up. And guess what? Just as election season is getting kicked off, guess what happened in 2020, right at the beginning of 2020? Anybody remember any significant events that happened around the world? COVID. So COVID happens. This is when the lies started ramping up like crazy. First, we're told, oh, it's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. Everybody shouldn't be wearing masks. Nobody has to be out there wearing a mask. I mean, it's kind of silly for people to be out there wearing a mask. General public. Everybody needs to wear a mask, and everybody needs to wear a mask. Maybe we should wear two. Yeah, maybe we should wear two masks. Trump tries to shut down travel from China, travel from certain places. Nancy Pelosi goes down to Chinatown. No, Chinatown's fine. This is all fine. Everything's fine. He's just xenophobic. He's a racist. I'm not a racist. Look at me. I'm eating lunch in Chinatown. Now we hear that Trump failed in his COVID response because he didn't do enough. He failed. He botched the COVID pandemic. That's why so many people died. Now keep in mind, more people died under Biden's administration from COVID than they did under Trump's administration from COVID. Which they still blame Trump for that. But that's beside the point. And then they tried to take advantage. Right away, they said, well, we came up with a vaccine. This is something that Joe Biden actually said. We came up with a vaccine. The vaccine wasn't invented under Biden's administration, by the way. Now, I'm not a proponent of the vaccine. If you want to take the vaccine, that's your business. I don't care. Here's the problem. I don't think it should be mandated. We take it. And this is where the whole thing got really crazy, because this is under the Biden administration when the vaccine mandate started kicking in under the military and everything else. Some employers and even military contractors or government contractors were required to have the vaccine. It reaches very, very far. I'm talking about everybody, like airlines. There were some airlines that required their employees to get the vaccine. Now, we were thinking that it was actually a vaccine, that if you get the vaccine, you stop the virus. If you get this vaccine, that you can't spread it, that you can't, that's like a normal vaccine, that's where it stops. In fact, there were people who came out and said that. Rachel Maddow came out and said that. Would you get this vaccine, you stop it. It stops right there. Okay, well then, why are you afraid of the people who are not vaccinated? Well, because they're going to spread it to grandma. Well, then give grandma the vaccine. Then we find out, and I've played this audio way too many times, I'm not going to play it again. Anthony Fauci saying that, well, the nasal pharynx If you are vaccinated, you still have the same amount of the virus in your nasal pharynx where you can spread it to other people. And by the way, you can still get COVID. But your symptoms are reduced. Oh, well, then it's not a vaccine. That's not the definition. They had to change the definition. They literally changed the definition of a vaccine. This is more of a therapeutic. It's more of a therapy drug than an actual vaccine. A vaccine vaccinates you against. I don't have a little bit of polio. I didn't get polio and then have minimized symptoms because I had the vaccine. That's not the way it works. And there were people yelling and screaming. Some of them snapped at me about saying that natural immunity is better than a vaccine. They snapped at me and said, no, it's not. Oh, well, that's unusual because for the last 100 years we've been saying it is. But that's all of a sudden it's not. These were highly educated people. And yet you can find, I'm not an immunologist. I can't even pronounce the word, let alone spell it. But I guarantee you can go to just about any immunologist in the country right now who is honest and actually practices, not somebody who's just sitting behind a politician's desk, which Anthony Fauci was. He was in a practicing position. I guarantee you, they will tell you, yes, natural immunity in the sake of, if you catch the flu, now you've got you basically are vaccinated better than any kind of flu vaccine, because they can't always pick the right flu vaccine. They know it's always mutating. So there you go. So we were told all this stuff. Of course, then there was it started in a wet market. And if you said anything else, if you said it started in a lab, you were a conspiracy theory. You were canceled. All kinds of bad things were done to you. You were demonetized, kicked off social media, ostracized. You're a wacko conspiracy theorist nut. What happened to all that? Oh, by the way, it wasn't a wet market. It was actually found in a lab. And now that the investigation's been done, oh, yeah, those people were right. You have to wear a mask. Everybody has to wear a mask. We had all these millions and millions of masks that were being made. Of course, then we find out later on that the masks were not, they weren't even, they're it's undeterminable. It's within 1%. Either way, it either makes it better 1% or worse 1%. They can't really determine it. There's all kinds of studies that go both ways with it, and they can't really determine which way it is. And so they just stop talking about it. But I still people today, now you can wear a mask if you want. Maybe it's more allergy stuff. They do, pollen, that kind of stuff, it does help with that. So maybe people are wearing masks this time of year because of pollen and other issues. If you're wearing to think it's going to protect you from a virus, you are sorely and sadly mistaken. It may reduce the possibility by 1%, maybe. And maybe that 1% is enough for you. Maybe your immune system is diminished and you just need to wear it because... Yeah, other issues. I have no problem with that. But don't just keep in mind when you're driving around in a car by yourself and you got your mask on, you're not really doing anything there. You're probably just hurting yourself for the most part. So just keep that in mind. What's going on with my watch? So there was all that stuff. I don't mean to bring all that stuff up, but now we got this. Joe Biden. Everybody's saying Joe Biden is losing it mentally. He's cogent. He's the most cogent person on the planet. This is the best version of Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden at his best. We got to elect Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the best, best, best. Everything's best about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, Joe Biden. You're a conspiracy. It's your cheap fakes. Cheap fakes. They're just using cheap fakes. They're editing this video of him doing things. Then he goes on live television up against Donald Trump. No script, just me and you. And he falls apart. Oh, I just had a bad debate. It was just one bad debate. Hey, he had a cold. Well, I hope we don't get attacked by a nuclear power. He has a cold or something. That's going to make some bad decisions. American can be summed up by one word. Whatever that is. Well, you know, he had a stutter when he was a child. You can play hundreds of hours of Joe Biden speaking in Congress over the last 70 years or however long he's been there. And there's no stuttering. No stuttering whatsoever. But because he's stammering over and stuttering now, that the claim that he's... by the way, tomorrow I'm going to play some stuff of Karine Jean-Pierre. The way she stammers, it is pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic. She can't say a sentence without repeating herself throughout the process. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand. The great communicator. She's the person who's supposed to stand in the gap and communicate for the White House, and she's just... It is absolutely pathetic. I'll point out all those things. I think we become so used to hearing things like that that is, wow, pretty pathetic. So she ends up. So we hear all this stuff about Joe Biden, and then he has the debate, and all of a sudden, within 24 hours, I'm stepping down because it's time for a new generation. I don't know what they used to pry the guy out of the office, but pry the guy out of the campaign. But we're supposed to believe all of a sudden that this most cogent person, and he's the most, he's still, of course, he's still qualified to be president right now. He's just stepped down from the campaign. We still don't really know why. When people ask Kamala, you have to ask Joe why he stepped down from the campaign. And then we have to ask, what was the process that actually put you in place? How did we actually do that? Who decided that? Did the DNC have a vote there? Was there some kind of democratic process? Not that there has to be. Just kind of curious because you are the Democratic Party, right? Not the Democrats. You're the Democratic Party. You always talk about yourself as the Democratic Party with the Democrats. It's just a party. Just like to play on the name. Because they're not Democratic. There was a fellow recently that tried to put up, tried to remind everyone that Hillary Clinton was not Democrat. She was placed in office. And of course, he was just about run off the stage, run off the set of this commentary on MSNBC. Yes, she was installed. Bernie Sanders was making extreme inroads. He was a threat to her. Possibility of losing the primary. And all of a sudden, the superdelegates come out and they just kind of start pushing Bernie out and they start making it that way. And guess what happens? And everybody forgets this. Someone actually had to resign because of all the stuff that was going on. And that person is still in office. I can't understand. What was that gal's name? Can't remember what her name was. This is the kind of stuff they do all the time. This is constant with them. And now we're hearing lies about Trump now. The lies are he called fallen soldiers suckers and losers. Find people on both sides. Now it's Nancy. Or he's going to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. He's going to cancel the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one. All these things that they are just ramping up and rattling off over and over and over again. And somehow we're supposed to all of a sudden now and he's going to be a fascist because Kelly said he's going to be a fascist. Liz Cheney and all the and her father, of course, are now supporting Kamala. These two prominent Republicans that we're supposed to have respect for. On and on and on, this stuff. And we're supposed to believe everything they say. We're supposed to believe everything they say. Well, I hate to tell you this, but they've been lying to us for the last 20 years, especially the last 8 years, and a ridiculous amount of lying over the last 4 years, even the last 4 months, and especially the last 4 days. So, How in the world? Now, we'll talk about the polls a little bit. I know it's been an hour. I'm kind of running a little bit of a long show. The polls, all, you know, as usual, they've tightened up. And all of a sudden, it's a really close race. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. One is there aren't very many pollsters who want to call the race. They don't want to say it's one way or the other because you can actually be charged with influencing the election. You can if you're not careful. Now there's this guy, and I've pulled this up. I want you to hear some of the things that this guy says. See where he's at here. This guy's name is Alan Lichtman. He's apparently predicted 9 of the last 10 elections. Some of them are pretty easy to do. He gets this guy in here. Now, at one point, he talks about his formula and all the stuff he talks about and everything he's talking about. One of the things he talks about, this is on Bloomberg Television, by the way. I'm going to try to find this. Oh, here he is. This guy's a Democrat. He did predict Trump in 2020, or in 2016. He's got 13 keys. But here are the 13 keys,
mandate
he says.
Based on U.S. House elections, incumbency, contest for the incumbent party nomination, third party, short and long-term economy, policy change, social unrest, scandal, foreign/military failures and successes, and only 2 keys have anything to do with the candidates asking whether, and they're very high threshold keys, asking whether the incumbent or challenging party candidate are one of those once in a generation, across the board, transformational, inspirational candidates like Franklin Roosevelt, the Democrat.
Okay, whatever he says.
But throughout now, let's the listen 21st to this. Century, democracy has been drastically on the decline, mostly from within. And that's what I'm worried. So here, Hollywood tape with Trump bragging.
Oh, here you go. This where he's talking
I don't
about the
sway and change them in response to what people say.
This is what
he's, this year is different. For example, in 2008, the critics said, you got to change your keys.
Let's see here.
And in 2016, people said, oh my God.
He goes on this whole thing about talking about what Trump things that Trump was saying.
Drastically on and, indirectly. He has made it clear he's going to try to do that again.
Here he goes.
140 police officers trying to steal an election by illegal means like fake electors and violent means.
Fake electors.
Like a coup on the Capitol that resulted in 140 police officers.
He also talks about the whole thing about got to be a dictator. He says dictators aren't just dictators on day one. They never stop being dictators. The whole thing was a joke. He's basically talking about executive orders to drill and to stop the immigration problem day one. And of course, this guy, the left is taking it way out of whack. He's just going on and on about this kind of stuff. All right, in fact, here it is right here. This is it right here.
His political opponents, he said he'd be a dictator on day one to drill, drill, drill. Well, drilling doesn't take place overnight. It takes place over months and years. And no dictator in the history of the country.
Yeah. So this is Alan Lichtman, American University, distinguished professor of history.
Who's been a dictator on day one, has ever voluntarily relinquished power. So you can see, both historically and what's going on right now
he's
in
taking
America,
him seriously.
Something we've never seen before. I am perilously worried about the future of our democracy. Democracies die, unfortunately, from within.
Okay, this guy, first of all, this guy's got DTS. There's no question about it. He goes on to talk about why he thinks that, you know, he names all of the Democrat talking points and claims that it's all about Kamala. Trump has to be defeated. He's all concerned about that. He claims Kamala's going to win in this election. Now, one of the reasons that the polls tighten up is because they don't want to overplay their hand. They don't want to say, oh, this is going to be a sweep. This is going to be all Donald Trump. He's going to win like crazy because, of course, or Kamala, either way, because they want people to get out and vote. They want people to be motivated to go out and vote. They don't want to affect anything in that respect. Now, also having said that, there's this issue of what are they really doing here? You know, it's we're looking at early voting coming in, and of course, I think the problem is going to be, I think that there are a lot of people who are, I think they've played themselves out with the early voting. I think the Republicans have it to some degree as well. However, in early voting, we're seeing that there are a lot more. There's almost twice as many people in Republican wise early voting than there have ever been, and in that process, they're claiming some of these states, like Iowa. There's this new poll that came out that's 15 points different than everybody else, but that's the one they're touting. They're touting this new poll where Kamala wins Iowa. I just don't see that. Now, there's a couple reasons why they might be doing this. One is because maybe they know the fix is in. They have to make it look like the polls had a really tight race. That way, when they cheat, this could happen on either side, but Democrats are well known for this because they're pushing for more things that allow them to cheat. Every time one party or one particular group tries to shut things down to make things more fair, all of a sudden some Democrat comes in and cancels it. Or they file a lawsuit. The Democrat Party sues to keep illegitimate registrations off the ballot. From getting a ballot. It just blows my mind. So we have this issue of crazy people. They're literally out of their minds. I think this is going to boil down to motivation. I've said this before. I think that the Democrats are not as motivated to vote for Kamala as the Republicans are to vote for Trump. That's what it's going to boil down to. Now, amazingly, as many people as there are at the polls, as the way the lines are right now, I have a hard time believing that we are going to see. We keep being told, like in 2020, 150 million people, over 150 million people voted, supposedly. Now, a certain percentage of people that are up to 18 years old, they can't vote. It's pretty high. I think it's like 30% of the population right there. And then I'm being told there's tens of millions of Christians that don't vote every year, that just don't vote. And I've been told there's got to be tens of millions of other people that don't vote as well. And of course, then you got the elderly and some people who just can't function well enough to vote. Of course, I'm sure somebody's going to be there to fill out their ballot for them, Jimmy. But that's the way it works. Now, I was talking about Jimmy earlier, Jimmy Carter, all the lies we heard about that whole thing. I lived through his administration. There's a reason he was a one-termer, by the way. And it wasn't just he claims he lost the election because of the Iran hostages. He didn't get the hostages back. If he would have gotten the hostages back, he'd have won the election. Maybe. But I think you forget, Jimmy, how trounced you got, how bad that election was. Reagan won in a landslide, and it was even worse in 84 when he won. It was even more of a landslide. Jimmy Carter was defeated handily, and it was because of the energy crisis when we were told that there wasn't going to be any more oil. We're at peak oil where you don't have any more oil. We're now going downhill from here. Oil is going to become scarce. Time for people to put away their fun. They're you got to sell your jet skis. You got to sell all this. You got to sell your four wheelers. You got to sell your whatever it is. The ride's coming to an end. They said it. I remember playing all the videos of people out playing, running around go karts and all this other stuff, dune buggies. The ride's coming to an end. The fun ride's coming to an end. Oil's going away. There's no more oil. This is back in the 70s. Prices shot up, doubled. Price of gas was 50 cents a gallon. It went up to over a dollar. Then we had milk shortages. We had meat shortages. Peanut shortages. Sugar shortages. Coffee shortages. Everything was messed up. Part of this was because of the whole price capping on certain things. That caused a lot of problems. Then we had airline price issues. They put prices, they put price caps on airline tickets. Of course, that just made everybody just charge the max amount they could. There were some very crazy policies. The government set aside land, all that kind of stuff that happened during that time. Farmland was set aside. Just all the different things that were done in the Carter administration that just messed everything up. And still to this day, in my opinion, there's some things that happened back then that have just messed things up. This is why Reagan won in a landslide. It wasn't because of the hostages. I was there. I remember. I remember what everybody was saying. Nobody was talking about the hostages. They were just saying, we got to get this idiot out of there. Because it was about the economy. The economy's in shambles right now. Now, they've tried to distance Kamala from the Joe Biden policies. But she has not presented a plan other than price gouging. We're going to stop price gouging. They're price gouging. Okay, what are you going to do about that? Put caps on prices? What are you going to do? That's never worked. It's only caused more problems. How exactly are you going to do that without Congress? Because they're not going to allow it. Well, I'm a prosecutor, and I was raised in a middle-class family, and I'm a prosecutor, and I'm going to talk through my nose even more. Okay, so, I'm not going to be able to stand it. So all this stuff's going on, and I'm sorry, I've got to keep rambling on. This is becoming a very long show. But the polls are supposedly very tight right now. In quite a few states, they're showing that this national poll where Trump was way up ahead, like over 4%, it was well over 5% at one point, national poll. All of a sudden, it's zero, almost neck and neck. It's within decimal points. Iowa's in play. North Carolina's in play, even though she pulled all of her advertising out of North Carolina, which I don't get that. Either she knows the fix is in, she knows she's going to win, or she knows she's going to lose, and she pulled all her money out of there and put it someplace else. It's right now, it's looking a lot like, now normally Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania all vote together in the same thing. Right now, it looks like Trump is handily going to win Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's going to happen or not because of the things that happened there last time in 2020, that there were some seriously weird things there happening. Michigan, same thing. We'll see what happens there. Right, all he has to win is Pennsylvania and I think Nevada, whatever it is. He's probably going to win Georgia. Probably going to win Florida. Most likely going to win Texas pretty handily. All the other red states that are going to, of course, jump in there. I think the swing states are going to mostly tip towards Trump. I think it's very difficult to see a path for Kamala to win this election. This guy doesn't think so. I think he's wrong. I think he's deranged. I think he's become blurred. First of all, his 13 things that he's always gone by don't play into certain things like social media and some of the ground game that has happened in the process. I just don't think – I think that his formula, all his things that he puts together, at some point, everything becomes antiquated at some point. I think at this point, we are there for this guy. This guy's going to be miserably wrong. I hope and pray that is the case. But people have got to turn out and vote. That's just all there is to it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I just don't think that there's going to be a motivated electorate on the left. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm really wrong about this. I think Trump has an opportunity to win the popular vote. I also think he has an opportunity to win, of course, the electoral vote. We'll see. We'll see how it all pans out. I know that he's made some comments. They've been twisting them around. Joe Biden's made some comments that have been that's trying to change what he's actually said. It's one of those guys that like to kick out and slap him in the ass. What did you just say? What does that mean? What? Makes his weird face. I don't understand this guy. It's the same guy who says, I'd like to take him out behind the bleachers and beat him up. Oh, yeah, you're the peaceful one. You're the one who doesn't want to hurt anybody, right? Well, he wants to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad just because she disagrees with him. I think you're stretching it just a little bit there, maybe just a little bit. He's talking about sending her off. If she loves, what he was saying was, if she loves war so much, give her a gun. In fact, he said, hand her a gun and send her off to face down nine, you know, rifles pointed back at her. That's what he said. He didn't say we're going to put her in front of a firing squad. Oh, he's talking about putting her in front of a firing squad. No, that's not what he said. But that's what you're going to say. You know, if you want to continue to lie, do this kind of thing, God have mercy on your soul. I have nothing else to say for you. I just, other than that. I just don't know what else to say about that. Folks, I think this is a serious pivotal time in our country. Seriously pivotal. And I Donald Trump is not our savior. But I think we have a chance to redeem our nation, our republic, under a President Trump presidency. I think we are faced with incredibly bad odds under a continued Democrat administration at this point for where the Democrat Party is going. We'll see what happens. I just have a hard time believing that they will legitimately win an election this year. I think they're either setting us up or making it sound like it's got to be rigged if he wins. God bless, folks. Have a great day. See ya.